North-South Connection, welcome to the maiden episode of Knowso's latest listening voyage named Knowso. In Knowso, two teams of your favorite Knowso voices will take you back through time during two vastly different eras of wrestling, navigating through all the TV and major events therein, alternating every 2 weeks. From Viewer's Choice, I'm Tim Taylor, and I'll be your narrator through one of the most polarizing eras in WWE history. In our first episode, we'll begin our look back at the recent history of WWE, the PG era. While the official start of the PG era isn't until July 2008, we wanted to lead you up to the family-friendly face of the WWE with one of the best lead-ins of all, WrestleMania 24. Without any further ado, your correspondents, representing Raw from the No-So Specials, he's Ryan Gray. Representing SmackDown from New Gen on a Mission, it's Justin Pratt. And representing the one true ECW, a host from Squared Circle to Silver Screen and Running Point, on this episode, it's Logan Crossley. Take it away, boys.
To open WrestleMania 24 tonight, we have John Legend sing America the Beautiful, and we kind of have an opening package kind of talking about all the matches and all the, you know, they really focus in on the Ric Flair parts of things because he has his career-threatening match with Shawn Michaels later on tonight. So that's really kind of how the show starts. And then our first match is going to be it's JBL versus Finley. I'm going to throw it over to JP real quick. What'd you think of the opener to the show with JBL and Finlay?
Yeah, just a real quick aside. So this wasn't shown on the pay-per-view, but it kind of makes sense to what happens later on. Is there was a battle royal right before this match to determine the number one contender for the ECW title, and Kane won that last, eliminating Mark Henry. So just want to throw that in there because that's going to make, you know, a tie-in later, but it's not, you know, anything big. As far as the opener goes, I thought this match was awesome. Like not, it's not this, like, you know, classic opener or something like that, but it's just two stiff, like, competitors in there that brawl the hell out of each other. And, you know, like a little story on this match, JBL's coming out and he's huge. Like, he's like my size easily, 6'4", 6'5", about 300 pounds. And he comes out and, like, my friends, like, daring me to smack the shit out of him. So I did. I started smacking the shit out of his back, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm about to be all over the camera. This is going to be my moment to shine. And they cut to the damn video package while I'm doing it, and it just pissed me off. But at least his jacket was a little tilted when he gets in the ring, and that was my doing. So that's the only claim to fame I have in wrestling. But there's actually a cool spot, too, where Hornswoggle's pissing him off, and he throws the trash can over the top rope and just nails him with it. And I just, like, laughed my ass off when he did that.
Oh, no! JBL is grief! On a Hornswoggle! Just got smashed that trash can!
But yeah, it's a fun brawl. It's a good opener to start the show off. I think it's very solid and underrated match. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I got you. Ryan, what'd you think of the opener?
Yeah, totally underappreciated and kind of forgotten about on the show because this show has such, you know, depth in it, really. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it's hard-hitting. It's great. I love the structure, how it's like a 7-8 minute brawl, and it's a blitz. You know, they get right to it. I love the Hornswoggle spot. I love Hornswoggle is like their little transition. When a Finley needs a little edge, he jumps in, turns the tide real quick, you know, a few times. Overall, it's fun, it's great, and it's definitely underappreciated and under the radar historically, too, for an opener.
Yeah, it's definitely on that, like, hidden gem WrestleMania. If there was a hidden gem WrestleMania playlist, I'd definitely throw this on there. Yeah, this is just an all-out brawl. They beat the crap out of each other with stiff strikes. They get weapons involved. They just bash each other over the heads with trash can lids, and I just go all around the ringside area just beating the shit out of each other. So,
it feels like from hell to end it, too. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The match goes about 8 minutes, and JBL wins it with a clothesline from hell, which is one of my favorite finishers of all time. So, just an awesome stiff fest to start the night. And, definitely one of those underrated kind of hidden gem matches in WrestleMania history for sure. After we get done with that match, we go to the back where we have our guest host for tonight, which is Kim Kardashian. So apparently she had just gotten famous at this point for reasons we won't say, I guess.
Thanks, guys.
But she's in the back kind of saying that the Money in the Bank match will be next. She's with Mr. Kennedy shows up, kind of just talks her ear off for a minute. And, you know, he does the Kennedy thing. So, yeah. Just a little aside there for a minute before we get to the next match. We have a seven man Money in the Bank match. So the competitors in this match are going to be John Morrison, Carlito, Shelton Benjamin, CM Punk, Mr. Kennedy, like we just talked about, and MVP, and then Chris Jericho. I think Jeff Hardy was supposed to be in this match as well, but he got suspended right around this time. So, that would have only added to this match. I believe
he was supposed to win it. If you remember, if you believe the shirts, the dirt sheets back then, he should have won it.
Right. Yeah, I think the sheets at that time definitely said he was a shoe-in to win. So, it's aside for his career a little bit, but I think he ends up having a pretty successful year. So, Ryan, I'll go to you first on this one. What do you think of the Money in the Bank match?
An underrated remix on Mr. Kennedy's theme. Did you guys notice that? I heard that. It was totally forgotten about, but I kind of appreciated it. You know, Morrison and Benjamin really show their athleticism here. They kind of shine early with the spots and whatnot. Morrison with that back moonsault with the ladder around it was pretty good. Sheldon getting tossed over the ladder by Carlito and Kennedy, moonsaulting into that ladder laid out, crushed it. He's done for the match after that. Overall, you're kind of typical Money in the Bank match from this era, really. Hovering around 4 stars being great, really. But this one was a little more safe, really, leading to Jericho and Punk at the end. And Punk hooking Jericho's leg and then grabbing the briefcase. Overall, strong, really. I liked it.
I got you. JP, what'd you think?
Yeah, and one moment in the match that was awesome is when Matt Hardy came out.
MVP could be close to calling himself Mr. Money in the Bank.
I want to change my bet.
This match is over with. MVP is going to... Wait a second. Oh, my Lord. It's Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy. It's Matt Hardy.
The man MVP took out with a knee injury 5 months ago. Matt Hardy with a twist of fate.
And got MVP with a twist of fate from the top of the ladder. Like, nobody... I don't think anybody really saw that coming. When he's coming through the crowd, it just went crazy. One thing I remember about this match is, like, I went with a friend who's not a wrestling fan at all, and, like, our first 3 matches of the show are a battle royal, a brawl, and now a ladder match, and he's thinking, like, oh, shit, is this what wrestling's like now? Like, is every match some crazy car crash match? I had to, like, you know, tell him, like, no, it's not going to be, like, this exciting the whole time. But, yeah, I just remember Morrison and Benjamin just putting on a show, like, both being athletic as hell, and of course, my guy Punk winning, it was a big moment. So I really thought they picked the right guy with Hardy not being in the match. So solid match overall, too. And you really can't go wrong with the Money in the Bank. It's, you know, standard by this point. But a great follow-up to the brawl, I'd say.
Yeah, this is before it was kind of a pay-per-view every year, and they had two or three on each show. So I think at this point it was still special, and it still felt really good. It might not be the best one they had yet, but I think it's definitely a top tier to this point. I think they had had 3 or 4 by that point. But yeah, definitely a good contest. Morrison doing the moonsault with the ladder in his hands, even though he really didn't hit anybody with the ladder. It's still impressive to look at. Shelton doing all his crazy shit that he always does. The Hardy moment is awesome when he comes out and screws the MVP out of the match, because you're like, oh man, nobody's around at all, so MVP's definitely going to win this thing. So, I really liked that they went with Punk. It was kind of, you know, out of the blue, but it was cool at the same time. So I really thought that was a good shot in the arm for that match. And, you know, thinking about Punk being champion at that point was kind of a wild thought, but I think they do a pretty good I think it was a pretty good idea to give it to him at that point.
Yeah, definitely a big pop from me live for that. That was great. I love that they went with him.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. I think that was definitely a good idea at that point, because I think he's super over with the crowd. So, and he was still a young guy. So, definitely a good idea. But after that match, we go to the Hall of Fame. They show the stuff from the previous night. The class that year was Gordon Solie, Eddie Graham, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Mae Young, Peter Maivia, Rocky Johnson, and Ric Flair. JP, what did you think of the Hall of Fame class this year, and did you go to the Hall of Fame ceremony?
No, I didn't go to the Hall of Fame, but it was weird. It was weird that, you know, it's in Florida, and you think, like, the crowd would be all over these guys because most of the guys are, like, Florida acts. But I don't know if it's just because it was in Orlando. Like I live in Tampa, so that's, like, where a lot of these guys wrestled. It's not really, you know, Orlando is, like, more of a tourist town where it's people from all over come around. So I was kind of – it was kind of weird seeing, like, all these Florida legends come out and not really get, like, the crazy pop I thought they would. Like, especially, like, the Briscoes who have, like, legit have, like, a body shop here, like 5 minutes from where I live.
Fourth the drive, brother. Fourth the drive.
Not anymore, but they did. And, you know, Flair was just the obvious headliner of the whole group. He's the one that got the, you know, the reaction of everybody. And that might have played a part, too, where people were just waiting to applaud him, you know, and go on from there. But, yeah, it was what it was. It was a nice little touch that they kind of started doing where they every location they kind of added a legend from that area and kind of put them on the card. So,
What did you think of Rick being in there when he still had a match?
I don't like that. I don't like that. I think like you're kind of almost giving it away that he's going to lose too when you're doing that, because you're kind of like shelving him at that point. Like, look, he's already a Hall of like if you look at other sports, I know wrestling's not technically a sport, but whatever. The guys that go in the Hall of Fame are 5 years after the fact. Like, and you're putting somebody in that's got a match in 45 minutes. Like, that's weird. You know, I don't like
definitely it, weird placement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I ask, because I'm not a huge fan of it, because it's like, oh, this guy's already in the Hall of Fame, so he's probably not going to win later.
Right. And it makes him look old.
Given though, really.
Yeah, he is old, but it makes him look older, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. In retrospect, would you put it after? But then, you know, you already had that big emotion with Flair coming out of that. You're really going to bring him back out. Weird place. It felt weird, but it might have been the right placement, really, if you think about it.
Well, no, I just mean, like, put him in next year, like, at the next
Yeah,
like, you know, don't give away the result as, you know, as to, like, oh, yeah, this guy's basically going to retire because we're putting him in the Hall of Fame. Ryan, what do you think of the Hall of Fame class?
It's fine. Maybe a little down. You know, we had the night before, we actually had The Rock. The Rock was there, and then he didn't appear at WrestleMania. So, I'm sure they were hoping for him to appear, but he didn't. You know, like you said, it's local guys, Briscoes. Is this the Graham class, too? I forget, really.
Yeah.
Eddie Graham was in there, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all local guys. You know, it's a solid class. You know, Rocky Johnson's in there to get because the Rock's available. I hate to say it, but it is what it is. And it's a headline, but with Flair, overall good, you know? It's just the more of the placement of everything was kind of a little weird. But like you said, I don't know if we did it late, if it takes away from the Flair moment that we get. And I wouldn't change that. So I don't know. I'm good with it, I guess. It's whatever, really. It's the Hall of Fame. It's kind of whatever to me.
Right. Yeah, I was. You definitely don't do it after the Flair match. But I think they probably just wanted to get it out of the way. It's, you know, not the most exciting part of the show, I guess. But
early back to what JP said earlier, it's coming off two bangers really at the start, so it's the start of the come down of the pay-per-view.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of have to, you know, cool things off a little bit before you get back up and excited. So yeah, I think it's not bad placement, but I just the Ric Flair thing going in the same year that he still has a match that's for his career, so it's kind of wonky to me. So but I thought I might just be weird on that one, but after that we go to the back and we have Todd Grisham, and he's with the master of ceremonies of the Playboy Bunny Mania Lumberjill match. Talk about it, plenty of adjectives to describe a match there. But he's talking to Snoop. He talks about how excited he is to be there. He brings in Festus, who is apparently his best buddy. Santino then shows up.
Look who we have here, Mr. Todd Grisham, Mr. Snoopy the Dog. And your friend, you've got brain damage, Charlie Brown.
I always love Santino's little things that he called other people. So, right. But he's kind of he's kind of trash talking Snoop a little bit. So he gets a ring bell from behind a couch or something like that and rings it. And that's what triggers Festus's like wild, crazy side. So then he kind of chases Santino away. And then we have Mick Foley pop in just so he can say,
"Have a nice dizzle."
In his old man, his greatest old man voice. So, Brian, what do you think of this little Snoop Dogg segment?
It's all right. It's fine. I like Snoop Dogg in the WWE. It's fine. You know, it's fine.
I got you. Yeah, Santino is one of my underrated favorites. So I'm sad I'm not going to be able to cover him.
Santino steals everything. What a highlight for me on Raw.
But JP, what'd you think of the Snoop Dogg segment?
I'm gonna be honest, I hate Snoop Dogg. Like, I cannot. I don't know if it's because I'm such like a diehard hip hop fan, and like I just can't take him seriously with the whole Martha Stewart crap and everything. But I mean, I get why they had him there. Obviously, like it fits. This is just me being a curmudgeon, but yeah, the less Snoop Dogg, the better for me.
Yeah, I got you.
At least he didn't wrestle.
Right,
yeah,
right,
that's true. Right. You a big Santino fan, JP?
Yeah, I do. I do like Santino. I think Santino got comedy wrestling. Like, he got it. You know, he would always know what to say, and the John Cena, anything he would do, he got it. And I wish like he was still around. Like, you could use somebody like him. Same thing with R-Truth. Like, I love a character like that on the show. So.
For sure. Yeah. This is like peak heel Santino too. Right. Coming off the Austin feud of late 2007. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say Santino is always one of my underrated favorites because anytime he was on the screen, I was always rolling over laughing. He always called Batista "stupid head Batista," so that's what I always called him after that. So, but speaking of stupid head Batista, he is in our next match. He's taking on, as William Regal says, so, JP, what'd you think of the brand supremacy match we had here with SmackDown versus Raw?
So I like that they have this, like the idea of this match more than the match itself, like the whole, kind of like giant Goliath guy of one brand versus the animal, you know, of the other brand. Like, I like that. And the match isn't like terrible or anything, but it was a little sloppy in parts, especially the finish where Batista kind of like Umaga almost over rotates a la Shawn and Diesel at WrestleMania with the powerbomb, and Umaga or Batista like almost throws his damn back out giving him the powerbomb. But like it was a cool match. Like, it's nothing like offensive, but after, you know, what we've seen already, it's kind of a little bit of a letdown with two guys who are kind of like in and out of the title picture for the last year or so. So like I said, I get why they did it, and it was just a solid match, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I think it was definitely two guys that deserved to be on the card, but maybe it's just the modernness of the brand supremacy thing that just is so overdone at this point to me, but I didn't like that they did like a brand supremacy match, but it's two hosses that go at it, and it was two guys that definitely deserved to be on the show. But Ryan, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, just what's left over on Raw. What's left mm-hmm. over SmackDown, mm-hmm. and you know, let's make it work on pay-per-view. Get two stars in a single match that don't have a feud and don't really have great chemistry. Really, it was a little disappointing, but it was fine. It was just more boring than anything, really.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was
kind of memorable though. It's,
yeah, he just kind of chucks him down, throw or going away. So I thought it was kind of cool, but you know, you can obviously tell it was a little bit botched at the same time. Yeah, like I said, you know, the brand supremacy thing at this point is just so overdone, and that probably is just not hindsight. It's just that I don't have any hindsight on how it was back then. So I think it was a good match. It just wasn't the best that they could put out because we've seen how well they can do if they're right in there with the right guy throughout the previous year or so. So, but yeah, not a bad match, but just nothing great to see at the same time. But after this, we go to a package telling us that, like JP said earlier, there was a battle royal earlier in the night to determine who was going to face Chavo Guerrero tonight here at WrestleMania for the ECW Championship. And Kane actually won this battle royal, last eliminating Mark Henry. So our ECW championship match for WrestleMania is going to be Kane versus Chavo. Chavo comes out to almost no reaction because he's freaking Chavo Guerrero and he sucks. So count me on the Chavo sucks train.
Blanket, I guess, though. I'll give him that. He does suck. Sweet looking blanket.
I believe it's called a poncho.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just playing. Chavo comes out to basically no reaction. He's waiting for Kane to come out. Oh, and I should say Armando Alejandro Estrada is the ECW GM at this point, and he announces the two guys. But Chavo comes out, and then he's kind of waiting for Kane. Yeah. Yeah, so random. But Kane, he's waiting for Kane to come out, and his music hits, but then Kane just kind of appears right behind him. And just immediately hits the choke slam, and he beats Chavo in what they classify as 8 seconds. So Kane is your new ECW champion in 8 seconds, which broke the previous record of 9 seconds that King Kong Bundy did at WrestleMania 1, I believe. So, but Ryan, what did you think of the ECW 8 second match?
I'll add this: there was 24 wrestlers for WrestleMania 24 in the opening battle royal. I thought that was kind of cute. That's a cute little tidbit to add. And that's really all to add to this. So,
yeah. So, I feel like Chavo Guerrero would have like 5-star classics if he would stick to 8 second matches. Kane post 2005 ish, probably the same thing. So I'm glad they kept this like short and sweet. Like, you know, when you think WrestleMania, when you think ECW, you think Kane and Chavo Guerrero, right? So, let's keep this to 10 seconds or less. And I was fine with it. You're not going to get a great match out of these two anyways. You don't want to see a match. So just make it what it was. So, and anytime Chavo gets squashed, I'm fine with it. So,
yeah, this might lead into your run for ECW, but this is pretty much creative has nothing for you, ECW.
Yeah.
You're going to get a title run. You know, you're going to get that stretch with Henry, Matt Hardy, friggin' what?
Regal, right? Doesn't Regal win it?
Regal, I don't know if he's champ, but he...
I don't think Regal ever wins it. I think he challenges for it a bunch, though, when Christian comes in. But yeah, we get Swagger, right. Swagger, Hardy.
Matt Hardy, yeah.
Mark Henry. Christian comes in eventually. I think he comes in 2009, so...
Yeah, we should get one leg Zack Ryder. That's pretty cool. That's fun.
Oh yeah, one pants leg Zack Ryder. But yeah, like JP said, kind of fuck Chavo. So he can lose in 3 seconds for all I care. But yeah, just nothing inspiring. Obviously doesn't get you super looking forward to ECW, but I'm kind of looking forward to looking into the absurdity of it all because I know it's insane and stupid sometimes. But that's kind of where I do my best work. So if you listen to any of my other podcasts. But yeah, I think this was only the second Mania I'd ever bought on pay-per-view, so I was hoping Chavo would lose at least to whoever won the battle royal, but I didn't think it was going to be 8 seconds, so I was like, they really did that, didn't they? After that match, we go to a commercial. It's for the WrestleMania we're watching, so I don't know why they're shooting a commercial for the current WrestleMania, but it's Carlito and Maria that are presumably on some kind of date. And he keeps trying to talk to her, but a seagull keeps, like, attacking him and stuff. And eventually at the end, I think he shits on his shoulder while he's just sitting there trying to, like, ask her to be his girlfriend or something like that. But just kind of a stupid little commercial. Then after that, Raven Simone comes out and kind of does a little Make-A-Wish segment saying all the Make-A-Wish kids are in the crowd. You know, they brought some kids to the show, kind of points them out, gives them a little bit of airtime, you know, makes WWE feel a little bit better about themselves. So, definitely. After that, we get a package for the career-threatening match with Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. It's a real emotional package. It kind of breaks down the whole rivalry and how Vince said the next match you lose is going to be your last. Kind of goes through how Flair had fought off, retirement. He had beaten, I think, MVP and maybe Kennedy along the way. He beats Kenny Dykstra, I believe, a little bit in there somewhere too. But he kind of fought off a few different people. But he also gets interviewed by WWE great Mike Adamley. So we get a Mike Adamley appearance at WrestleMania. And he actually doesn't get to talk very much. So he kind of just shoots it over to Rick. And at the end of the interview, he says, "My game plan is to be the man," and then goes woo, obviously. but we get the intros to all to the match. Flair kind of goes by his family, gives them all a kiss, and you know, tells them he loves them and all that kind of stuff. And then Shawn comes out, obviously. But then that the next match, obviously, is Flair versus Michaels. So, JP, what did you think of the career-threatening match?
So just in just a little background about everything that's like happened right before this, I think the reason for the commercial and why the Kane match was so quick is because there was a storm coming in the area, and like this this Mania being outside, that I think they were worried about the rain. Like, I think that's why they stalled a little bit to kind of see where it was going to go, because it started to sprinkle for a little bit, and like a lot of us were like, oh shit, this better not ruin this, you know, Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels match. And I think during another match soon, I know it starts to kind of pour a little bit. I don't know how much you can tell on the TV, but I think they might have rearranged it. That's just me guessing, but the way it kind of worked out makes me think they did. And luckily, you know, it went off without a hitch. Now, in this match in general, like, I have, like, mixed feelings on this match. So, like, if you're looking at this as a, like maybe not a strictly WWE fan, but, like, that's your style of wrestling, is because they definitely have, like, their own style, right, with the the package involved, with the theatrics involved and everything like that. This is like a classic match, if that's what you're looking at it as, like a two legends, the way they kind of scripted it out a little bit, the whole "I'm sorry, I love you," which I hate, but I can see why a lot of people like it. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're looking at it from that lens, which I can do that too, it's a great almost five star classic match, whatever. I don't look at it that way necessarily. I think it's great storytelling. Like, I think, like, I take a look at it that way, like how they told the story. And, you know, just two guys going out there giving it their all. For Flair to be still in such, you know, ring shape the way he was in this match, like, he didn't miss a beat. Like, he didn't get up like he normally would for a lot of the spots, but he was still, like, on it, and the crowd was just eating Flair up. Like, he... anything he did, like you knew he was losing this match, but like every spot you still bit for it, and it was just an emotional match, you know, to get invested in. I think that's what WWE does best. Like, you might not like the like, you might, if you want to be a purist and be like, oh, you know, this is a 3.5 star match or whatever, I'll agree with you. But if you look at it for what they were trying to accomplish, I think they did it perfect.
Yeah, I got you. If you say there was a storm coming, I definitely get why they did the commercial and kind of the backstage interview and stuff like that. That definitely makes sense. I'm glad I have that. I'm glad we had right. that live.
Right.
You know, you were there, so you know that happened. So I'm glad that we have that on this show for sure. Ryan, what did you think of the career threatening match?
Yeah, like you said, with the WWE structure, you know, you throw this match in Ring of Honor 2008, it's not a, you know, 4.5 star classic right. like it is. But you throw it with all the pomps and circumstances, the beautiful entrances, the beautiful exits. You know, Michael, say what you want about Shawn Michaels, but he really does a great job of carrying Rick. And even Rick says he carries him to the, you know, 59-year-old Rick says he carries him to this great match. There's that gnarly table spot with the moves off the top rope, you know, it didn't go as planned, I'm sure, but it really added to it. Given Rick that slice of hope, like you said earlier in the pod, he already inducted the Hall of Fame. We know he's losing, you know what I mean? But, you know, they did a great job of being like, oh, does Flair get this? Is this Flair? You know, this is scripted, but, you know, they're kind of hooking us here a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. But they'll, you know, these are two all-time greats, really. And, yeah, Flair's 59, but even when he's locking him in that 54, Michaels is selling. The ref's adding to it. Everyone's standing up. Everyone's getting excited. You know, those two guys delivered, but everything else around it really added to it and blew up this match, really. I personally think this is the match of the night on a deep WrestleMania, but you ask 10 people, you're going to get probably – you could get up to 4 or 5 different answers, really. But overall, I loved it. I think it's perfect. I think it's great. And there's not much more to say about it, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a stacked WrestleMania, so definitely match of the night could go to, you know, at least three or four different matches, so you're definitely right on that one. And yeah, like you were talking about, you know, it was pretty obvious Flair was losing. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame. This storyline had been going on for 2 or 3 months at this point, I believe. So, you know, it was bound to end eventually, but they sucked you in. Any spot that Shawn Michaels missed, especially that rib straight to the corner of the table, which is just a brutal spot every time you watch it. But yeah, just a brutal spot with the side of the table. You know, JR, of course, freaks out and goes,
oh, Flair on our, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, look out here.
Look out. Good grief. God's sakes. My God. Oh, showstopper may have just stopped his own show.
This is peak JR, too. This is WWE motion. He's perfect for this.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, he's crazy at this point, so, but yeah, you know, Michaels was a perfect person to go in there and have a great match with him. Like Ryan said, he could carry him at this point. Flair's still awesome. He still can bring it all in. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Michaels obviously structured the match pretty well and put out a good story throughout there. You know, maybe the I love you, or I'm sorry, I love you thing is a little overblown at the end, but you know, it makes you remember the match, and like, that was the final shot. That was the kill shot at the end of the match. So, but yeah.
I'm sorry, I love you. It's wicked corny on paper, but it holds up. It holds up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The idea, if it's corny on paper, it's corny. Even kind of in the moment's a little corny, but like 10, 15 years later, I kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, if Bret Hart would have done it, it would have been cool, but Shawn Michaels did it, so it's corny.
Yeah, so there's obvious bias. Yeah, if you had Bret in here, you would have had a hell of a rest hold and really would have sucked the emotion out of the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have cranked the sharpshooter a little bit harder. He'd been like, I'm right. Sorry, I love you.
Exactly.
But yeah, Sean's my favorite guy, so I know that's not going to win any points with Marcus or JP. So
I'm on your side, buddy. It's all right.
Okay. I thought this was an absolutely great match. Great way for Flair to go out. I really wish he had stayed retired from wrestling, but we won't go into that right now. But yeah,
real quick before we get out of here, back to the structuring of this card. You know, you had those three or four segments leading up to us. You know, starting with the Umaga stuff that was kind of dull. Mm-hmm. And then you have that, you know, the beautiful fireworks after this, and it's kind of their halftime show, really. And then you have that big come down of what's next, really. So they structured this to be a classic, and I think it delivered in that spot.
Yeah, it was kind of that mid-show main event, kind of like Flair and Savage was.
Yeah, exactly, from WrestleMania 8.
I think they definitely structured it to where that they could have a hot match in the middle and have that big fireworks show, and obviously have the little bit of a cool down match that we're going to have after this. So, but after the match, Flair goes around, kisses his family, says he loves them all, and they're all crying because that's what that family does. They cry all the time. I wonder if Conrad absorbed that gene when he married into that family. I wonder if he cries at everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad he wasn't married to her yet, so he couldn't be at the show. So,
exactly.
but like Ryan said, we get a little bit of a fireworks show after that. It's kind of the mid-show celebration, I guess, is what you could put. But after that, we go back and we have Edge promo. Edge is kind of talking about how he was at WrestleMania 6 and, you know, he was a big Hogan fan. He was cheering for Hogan big that night. And when Ultimate Warrior beat him, he was a very, very sad kid. And he didn't enjoy the fact that the Ultimate Warrior had crushed his hero. So tonight he's going to play the same role and he is going to crush the little kid out there that is cheering for The Undertaker, which is a really funny thought to think about if you really think about it.
Right.
But yeah, that was kind of the premise of his little promo. But after that, we go to our next match, and it's the Playboy Lumberjill match, and it's Melina and Beth Phoenix, and they take on Maria and Ashley. Maria was in Playboy this year that we're talking about in 08, and I believe Ashley had been it the previous year. So I guess they put the Playboy bunnies together, and they put the actual wrestlers on the other side. So, JP, what'd you think of the Playboy Lumberjill match?
So this is the match where it started to pour pretty good. And now that, like,
is that why the power went out?
Yeah,
I was just gonna ask that.
Yeah, the power went out. So this, like, leads me. I didn't realize. I forgot that this was the match right after the fire match, and now it really makes me think that's what they did as far as, like, switching it up a little bit, because it started pouring and nobody really cared because of what match it was. You know, this is, you know, par for the course of this era. I get why they do it. They show a little bit of TNA out there. They get the girls on the show who aren't really, like, this is way before your Charlottes and Beckys and all them, like, putting on good matches. You know, it's just something to fill. It's something kind of comedy-esque with Santino out there. You got Snoop out there. It's kind of your ambiance kind of match, which, you know, it's not offensive or anything like that, but it was raining pretty good, and people were kind of scrambling a little bit, and then the power does go out. So that's when we're like, oh, shit. Like, are we going to miss the rest of this shit now? Because, you know, like, we're outdoors, we're getting rained on, and how they're going to handle it. Like, it lightens a lot in Florida, too, so we just didn't know what the hell to do, you know? So, yeah. I don't remember too much of this match, but I'll take a wild guess and say it was fluff.
I like to think God's a wrestling fan and he has a really, really funny sense of humor. He's right. Like, nobody wants to see this women's match.
Exactly.
Let's just cut the lights real quick.
Right. Exactly.
It's so sudden, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's like out of nowhere. I am glad they let the actual, like, wrestler women win. So I'm glad Phoenix and Malia actually end up getting the win. But Ryan, what do you think of this Lumberjill match?
The Lumberjills added to the aesthetics of it. Maria and Ashley are sloppy, really. I don't want to be, like, critical of the women or whatever, but they're sloppy. They're kind of clunky and whatever. I can't believe that after the debacle at WrestleMania 23, we're getting Ashley and Melina again at WrestleMania 24, but with more added to it. Really. Right. That was like, that's like an all-time bad WrestleMania match, but whatever. It's Santino adds to it. You know, you got Jerry the Lawler coming over and punching Santino. Santino's throwing it great. It's really not much there. I can't believe it went 6 minutes, and I don't know. It's bad. I don't want to say it. It's fine. Right. It's really not that good. You get Snoop and the Lumberjills and Santino as, you know, fluff to make it work. Whatever.
And yeah. 10 years earlier, they would have made this a wet t-shirt match in the rain. So, you
know. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Right.
It would have been a pudding bowl on the stage
right.
match. So.
Right.
Hey, it might have been better work. It might be better work rate.
That's true. but yeah, I was gonna say, you already are probably going to have a pretty sloppy match with the people involved, and then you cut the lights out, so that probably didn't help things at all. So, but yeah, after the match, they kind of shoo Santino away, and Snoop Dogg actually gets to plant a kiss on Maria for a little bit. So, lucky Snoop Dogg, I guess.
hey, this is the first time Sasha Banks went to a wrestling WWE event too. That's a nice, cute little trivia.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I didn't know that. So that was a hot trivia item right there. Maybe when Body Pressure Luck comes out, Ryan will show and he gets to answer that question. Yeah, I gotcha. You don't want any part of Ryan, though. They have to disqualify him.
Right.
No, he's incredible. I guess.
Yeah, he is incredible. You're right. After this match, we get our video package for the WWE Championship match, which is going to be a triple threat match between Randy Orton, John Cena, and Triple H. The video package is basically going over the fact that Randy Orton's kind of been running things since Triple H was injured and John Cena was injured. John Cena obviously came back and won the Royal Rumble. Triple H had won the number one contender Elimination Chamber match at No Way Out. So that's how he got the title shot. But Cena used his title shot at No Way Out that he won from the Rumble. So at No Way Out, so he won by disqualification. So he actually got to be back into this match. So it's kind of a convoluted way to get to a triple threat. But I think John Cena and Triple H both probably deserved it. On John Cena's entrance, they actually bring out a marching band. I don't know if it's from a specific school or if it's just – JP, do you know? Are they from a school or is it just like a conglomerate?
It was a school in Orlando, I believe. Yeah.
Like, I figured it was some kind of marching band from a school. But they kind of play a band version of My Time Is Now with tubas and, you know, trumpets and all that kind of stuff. Then obviously Triple H comes out to his regular Motorhead stuff. And I was very surprised to hear Orton come out to the Hey, Nothing You Could Say instead of the I Hear Voices, because I thought he had voices at this point. So I was kind of shocked to hear that he came out to his old music. So because I definitely thought he had voices at this point. Ryan, would you go ahead?
No voices in his head yet.
No, not yet. but Ryan, what did you think of the WWE Championship Triple Threat here?
You know, looking back and having you review how we got here, you know, Cena's 2008 Rumble win was so impressive and such a big surprise. It's kind of a letdown to have listened to you go over on how we got here and then, you know, reminiscing on the match and the win. And it's kind of like, it's kind of a letdown. But overall, the match is fine. It's like a very good match, obviously. It's a little rushed. It's a little short, but I'm really not going to complain there, especially on the loaded card. The structure is fine. Of course, you've got to get your Triple H rest hold in, even in a triple threat blitz. You know, you get the Indian death lock in there for what seems like forever. But hey,
I hate that move.
Hey, you got to get your shit in, right, pal?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I believe the lights are kind of still out into the beginning of this match. Am I right?
Yeah.
You recall that? Yeah.
Yep. I believe
so. That was interesting.
I think they had gotten a few more on, but yeah, I think it was still pretty dim.
But, I do recall everything just like flipping a switch and it's like the crowd kind of popped and the lights came back on. But, overall, very good. I love the ending where Orton punched Triple H where he got him in the, punched Cena when he gets him in the STFU for the tap out, pins him, 1, 2, 3. Kind of a shocking win for Orton to retain because I believe he does dump the belt next month. So it's not like he had a big title reign, but, you know, probably for Randy Orton at this point in his career, he probably needed to win the most, and I'm kind of glad he got it, too.
Yeah, it was definitely surprising at the time, I remember. But, JP, what did you think of the WWE Championship match?
So, you know, kind of piggybacking off what Ryan just said, like, the build-up is the letdown, and Triple H should not have been a part of this match, in my opinion. Like, I don't think we ever got a Randy Orton, John Cena singles WrestleMania match, have we?
Nope.
I don't think so, no, sir.
So this would have been, like, the best time to do it. And, you know, I feel like Cena should have won coming off that huge Rumble win. Like, that comeback was just so, like, out of nowhere when he comes back at 30 in the 30th spot.
Legit surprise, too.
Right. Oh. And, you know, I like Orton the best out of these three at this time. Like, in 2008 eyes, I was more of a fan of Orton. I hated Triple H at this time. Like, he always had to shoehorn his way in to some kind of main event picture or whatever, to, like, you know, let it go. Like, he should have been in, like, the ECW Battle Royal or something. But, like, you know, like, I just think that the match was cool. It was a fun match, but Triple H just killed me. And he's fat Triple H at this time too. Like, I don't know. It's just, I wish Cena would have went over it. It would have been more memorable. And I do remember the crowd being, like, really let down that Cena didn't win. Like he was, next to a guy in the main event, he was the most over person on the whole card. And maybe Ric Flair because of what was going on. But Cena was definitely still over like crazy at this period.
Yeah, I think this is definitely before the whole Cena sucks thing really caught on and started, you know, really going against him and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think he was starting to kind of trend that way, but I think the fans are still a good bit behind him, at least for sure at this point. Randy was kind of a surprise choice. I'm kind of with y'all. I wish Triple H wasn't wedged into this because the whole No Way Out thing was so convoluted as well. So, John Cena had to be special and have his title shot early. So, they had to have an opponent for him, I guess, if Randy actually beat him, but they knew that wasn't going to happen. So they probably didn't need to do it anyways. But Randy was a good choice. I think it built him a little bit more than he had already been built as the champion. So him retaining at WrestleMania is a big deal. So, but yeah, I like the punt ending, as well. I thought that was a really strong way to end it because it was kind of out of nowhere. You didn't even see Randy get in the ring. So, and he just comes out of nowhere, just nails him and covers Cena for the win.
Out of nowhere. It's still kind of early in the match. You expect these guys to go long. It's definitely a pop for a win.
Oh yeah, definitely. It doesn't even go 15 minutes. I think I saw that it went 14:09. So, it's just one of those matches that's good, but considering what card it's on and the matches that are around it, it, you know, kind of falls by the wayside a little bit. It's kind of a forgotten, world title right. match.
And the other thing, sorry to interrupt, but the other thing that people like live hated that you didn't get an RKO or a pedigree or an AA or whatever he was calling it then. Like, you didn't get that as a finish, and people wanted to see that because especially how, you know, the RKO was so over, you know, still is. But people wanted to see that as a finish, I think, and a lot of people were complaining about that. Like, watching it back, that finish was awesome. Like, I love the way they did it, but at the time, a lot of people weren't feeling that, I remember.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. If it, like Ryan said a minute ago, it seems kind of rushed. I definitely get that vibe from it. I feel like, I don't know if they wanted more time for the last two matches or if they just, you know, something happened and they just wanted to go home early or whatever. But, like I said, it was a good match. Just probably not the best effort that these three guys could probably put out there. But it also probably should have just been Orton and Cena. We'll move on from there, and we get our video package for our the biggest versus the best. That's going to be Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather. They kind of go through their whole rivalry to this point. At No Way Out, Big Show had challenged Floyd out to the ring because I think he was ringside for that event at some point. I mean, he came in at some point at No Way Out and was in the crowd. So Big Show kind of calls him out and gets him in the ring, and he offers him a free shot, and then Floyd Mayweather breaks his freaking nose. So yeah. I don't know about all the accounts for that, but I think that was a shoot, and I think he actually punched him a lot harder than he was supposed to. So the Big Show was actually really
pissed.
Yeah, I was in a Big Show. I think from what Show says, he was actually really pissed at him and wanted to strangle him pretty much. But luckily, Floyd had like 500 bodyguards with him. So, Floyd comes out tonight and he has the money with his or the dollar bills that fall down from the crowd that I think JP said he got one of with his face on it. So that's a pretty cool souvenir to have. But he comes out with his 10 bodyguards, which I actually noticed one of them is a future NXT star, Michael Tarver.
Yes.
I'm glad you caught that very lightly. But yeah, I had never caught that before, but I watched it this time and I looked and I was like, is that Michael Tarver? What the hell is he doing there? But I guess they just got a couple of OVW guys, to kind of help, play his bodyguards there.
He's one in like blue too. Other one of them are red and black. He's black and blue.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was wearing something a little bit different. That's right. Floyd Mayweather comes out to an extravagant entrance, of course. And he's wearing the most absurd jacket and pants. The pants are they're supposed to be shorts, but they're like down to his freaking ankles, and they're like I don't even know how to describe them, like horse fur or something like that. but it's just absolutely absurd. His outfit and Big Show comes out.
I don't care. So
okay. Ryan, what'd you think of this celebrity match with Mayweather and Big Show?
I think it's the best celebrity match of WrestleMania. I think it's super fun. It's a cat and mouse game. You know, he taunts Big Show early, and then when Big Show gets on him, he beats him down. And they throw the handlers at him. They're set up spots, even like when the handlers come on it. It's theatrical. The water goes flying, and then it just gets a big pop. Their hype men are literally hyping them up the whole match. They're like, the dudes are like Refrigerator Perry. They're fucking huge. I love the guy in the white. I love the guy in the white suit who's Mayweather's, I guess, promoter, his Don King or whatever. He's great.
Yeah.
I actually believe Triple H laid this match out. If I remember it correctly, I remember hearing that, you know, this is a Triple H special. So it doesn't go long. It, you know, 11 and a half minutes or whatever. It's super fun. And I love the ending with the punch with the brass knuckles. It's great. I still think it's, you know, people say the Bad Bunny match is the best celebrity match. I think this one's a little bit above it, but both are hovering around great. Really. I love it.
I think I was live for Bad Bunny, so I think all the people that say Bad Bunny was the best one are the people that were live there for it, because I'm probably one of those people.
well, let's hear it. And Base the Break, you were there for Bad Bunny. You were there for Floyd money. Let's hear it, JP.
Oh, it's this match by a mile. Like, it's because Floyd Mayweather is such a heel.
Oh, like, he's great.
He comes out and it's like a lot of people in the crowd, and just, I don't think I've mentioned it, my seat was literally on the guardrail. Like, you see me a lot in a lot of people's entrances and stuff. I'm towering over Floyd Mayweather. This guy is so small. He is like demonstrably tiny.
What's and he, people are just,
yeah, I don't even know if he's that. Like, he looks like a little kid, but you know he'll whoop your ass. And that's why he's cocky as hell. So it's like, he's such a perfect heel. It's like a 2008 version of like Andy Kaufman, like small, tiny guy. You know what I mean? But you know, like,
money's
in
the mouth,
legitimate.
You know what I mean?
Right, right. And the dollars are falling from the sky that have his face on it. It's like, oh, this guy's just so full of shit. I can't wait till the Big Show comes out and beats his ass. Then the Big Show comes out and the like fans who are just seeing him for the first time are like, oh shit, he's just gonna kill Floyd Mayweather. Like, this is gonna be quick. But it's such a perfectly laid out like cat and mouse game between the two. And Floyd's cocky, bouncing all around the ring. Big Show finally gets a hold of him. The finish is perfect with the brass knuckles and takes him off the chain. I just think this match is laid out so good. The right guy won. This is to go back to the Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels with the WWE style.
Yes.
For a celebrity match, I don't think. Not just WWE, even like you had Savage and Rodman have a good match in WCW, but you know, this is the best celebrity involved match, I think. Still today, Bad Bunny, good match, a great match even, but no, I don't think anything tops this. And of course, I'm biased. So,
am I crazy to say that this is peak Big Show, really, for the WWE?
Oh, no, it definitely is. I agree with you because,
yes,
and everything else, he might have had better matches earlier, but he was such a letdown because he was younger and more athletic. You feel like he should have done more. And he kind of got shit on after that point where he just, you know, gave up and just got fat. And was this before, was this right after he went, was a boxer for a little bit?
I think,
yeah, he was
a boxer.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, he had like semi-retired before
right.
this and then acted like he was going to get into boxing. I don't know if he ever had a fight, but yeah, he right. had retired somewhat and like
yeah,
started
to try. Yeah, he took 2007 off, if I believe correctly.
Yeah.
After his CW run.
Yeah, and then this, and then Jericho happens, and then, no, this is definitely one of his best runs, and, you know, this match is just so iconic, and it puts such, like, this was a match that could have made this, like, I don't want to spoil anything, I'm not going to, but it could have taken this Mania, like, down the list more if it would really shit the bed, and it could have, because it's a celebrity involved, but, you know, having Big Show carry Floyd the way he did, just, I love it, it's just such a good match.
Yeah, and this is the best shape that Big Show had been in his entire WWE
yeah,
career. He might, at the beginning of his WCW career, he might have been in a little bit better shape because he was obviously younger and all that. But this is the best shape. He was so fit. Look, I mean, he's obviously still huge because he's
right.
freaking Big Show. But I mean, he was as skinny as he had ever been. He looked great. He seemed like he was in good spirits because he had looked miserable and just was so overweight when he was in DCW. So.
I keep calling back to the dirt sheets because it's whatever, but wasn't Rey Mysterio rumored to be a part of this too before he got hurt?
Yeah, I think they were going to do some kind of tag match
yes.
with, but I can't remember.
Oscar De La Hoya or something like that, some wonkiness like that, and it was going to be Floyd and Big Show versus De La Hoya and Rey, because De La Hoya and Rey are boys outside the ring.
Right.
Yeah,
no, Ray was definitely
right?
supposed to be involved. I don't remember the De La Hoya thing, but I know Ray was supposed to be involved. Like, Ray was – I don't remember to what extent now. I have to go back and watch, but for sure he was supposed to be involved because he's obviously hurt or else he'd be on the show somewhere. But
yeah, this is a perfect – this ended up being a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worked out perfect. But, you know, this card doesn't have – you know, just not to jump out real quick, but this card doesn't have Jeff Hardy or Rey Mysterio. You got Batista and Umaga in filler matches. That's how loaded this roster is at this time.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say this isn't the best celebrity match ever. It is absolutely the best celebrity match ever, without a doubt. LT Bigelow's up there too, but
That's underrated. That's underappreciated for sure.
Absolutely. And Bad Bunny in that match last year was awesome, but this is absolutely the gold standard of celebrity matches. Floyd pays the perfect heel, just running around, always avoiding what Big Show does. Big Show gets a few shots in, but he mostly lays into the handlers and the bodyguards, chucks them around, hits them with some of his big frying pan chops. Just absolutely perfectly working match.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's the best.
Yeah, it'll probably always be the gold standard of celebrity matches because it's just amazing. And Big Show does a great job. Floyd does a great job. He does it perfectly well. So, this match is amazing considering who the two participants are for sure. And it's great and will always be remembered. So, after this match, I believe Kim Kardashian. Oh no, we actually get our WrestleMania 25 announcement telling us that it's going to be in Houston. They don't announce that it's going to be in Reliant Stadium or whatever it was called at that point. We then get Kim Kardashian. She comes back out.
I really hope that each and every one of you has had so much fun, just like I'm having.
And she actually tells us about the attendance for the show. We had 74,635 people. That's a pretty big number. Was that the attendance record at that point, JP?
They announced the Citrus Bowl record that it was, okay. At least. I don't know WWE-wise. And then it was weird because, like, Kim Kardashian came up to me and asked me to go out with her after the show, like, right after this. But I had to decline. It was just weird, but just a little insider tip there.
She's like, walking right up that ramp. She's like, damn, yeah. Are you a wrestler?
It was weird. Yeah, it was weird, but whatever, you know.
I totally believe you.
But you don't want Ray J sloppy seconds?
No, if I had one wish, it would be a Kardashian.
I gotcha. But I, even if it wasn't a Citrus Bowl record, I'm sure they would have announced it that way.
Right.
Because that's just how they do it. But we get two Kim Kardashian appearances, so. No, that's definitely what we needed for this show.
I'm actually surprised she's still at the show. She's in early.
Yeah, I'm surprised she lasted past that interview. I'm like, I want to get away from this fake wrestling shit.
Right.
But after that, we go to our video package for our main event. It's going to be Edge defending the world title, the world heavyweight title against The Undertaker. The Undertaker is 15-0 at this point. It's really based around the fact that Edge wants to obviously in the streak, and Edge is technically not undefeated anymore, but he's never lost a one-on-one match or a match that wasn't a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania. So he's never been pinned or submitted at WrestleMania, I guess is the best way to go around it. So he's not technically undefeated, but they're kind of playing. They play it as it's undefeated versus undefeated. So somebody's streak's going to go down tonight.
They do play into that because I fast-forward through the package.
Okay. Yeah, they definitely play into that. I mean, obviously he had lost some Money in the Bank match the year before, but he wasn't pinned or, you know, he didn't technically lose any way of pin submission or DQ or anything like that. They also kind of talk about how Edge and Undertaker have been feuding over the past year, how he had cashed in the Money in the Bank on him, how he had kind of screwed him at Survivor Series against Batista, and obviously Edge ends up winning the title off of Batista, so that sets up this match. He had just started dating Vicky Guerrero on screen, and then he has Hawkins and Ryder as his Edge heads, so La Familia has really started to start to form. I'm sure the SmackDown team's really looking forward to that stable.
Yeah.
Undertaker obviously makes his entrance, and it takes like 5 or 10 minutes for him to get to the ring because he walks at a glacial pace. The one disappointing part about this match, pre-match, is that Michael Cole and Jonathan Coachman call this one. So this one would have been a King and JR special, I feel like. But they both make their way out to the ring. JP, what do you think of this world heavyweight title main event between Edge and Taker?
So I don't know about you guys. Did you guys expect this to be the main event going in? Like, if watching the build-up, did you expect it to be the last match?
No. That's actually a pretty good question. I was actually thinking that myself of asking that to you, so way to spoil it. But that's cool. No, but actually, I'm glad it did, though, really.
Yeah, me too.
It fits.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. So you just took my point. When this ended up being the last match, I'm like, what the hell? Why are they putting this? Like, I thought the three-way would be last. I thought Flair, Michaels would be last. Like, I just did not think this would go on last. But the way it played out, I'm glad it did because, you know, I'm not the biggest Edge fan. Like, I don't really like watching Edge that much. But him and Undertaker have a great chemistry. So, you know, this was a very solid match. And it was the match that, you know, if you're going to have Orton win the three-way, you don't want that to go on last the way it did. If you're going to have the Shawn, I think the Shawn Flair was placed so perfect. Like, I wouldn't change that either. So I am glad that this worked out the way it did. Very solid match between the two. Not in like Undertaker's top tier WrestleMania matches, but definitely like maybe a notch right below it, in my opinion.
Perfectly.
And Edge is like just the perfect foil, you know, with the Edge heads coming down who had to run, like it felt like a mile to the ring to come down, and then Taker just kind of like tosses them on their ass. And then, you know, I don't know if you guys know this story either about this match. It was really big here in Florida is when Undertaker won, there was like this big like pyro celebration and like there was a big malfunction that went into the stands and like 30 or 40 people got hit by like all these fireworks and they ended up suing WWE. It was like a big thing. And one of my friends I worked with was in the section that got hit. So it was crazy. Like he was texting me all these, like these people were getting hit in the face with fireworks and stuff. It was crazy, but it kind of dampened the end of the show. Kind of like you're on this high, like Undertaker just won. He's undefeated still. And then you start hearing, we didn't know like the details of it until like the next day. So it didn't bring it down too much, but it was just kind of weird happening at the end, but a great main event, I think to cap it off. And I think like what made this such a good show is the placement of everything, like how they paced it. And I wish they would do that more, you know, of the selection of their matches. It just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. I'm glad you went into that because I was going to ask you about that either after the match or after you were done talking, but I'm glad you already went into it. But yeah, I think as far as it being the main event, I wasn't expecting this to be the main event, but I think, you know, looking back, I think the only thing that could have main evented this was Shawn Flair. I think that would be the only way you could possibly end the match end the pay-per-view other than this. So like you said, Randy wins the WWE Championship match, so you don't want to end on a heel winning. So, but Ryan, what did you think of that main event?
This is the first of, I want to say, three or four pay-per-view matches for these guys, you know, leading into the Hell in a Cell at the SummerSlam. And the SummerSlam, that's correct.
You said it right.
I just want to make sure I got that over. So, this is really a strong first match for them. I'm really glad that, like, I'm kind of a sneaky Hawkins and Ryder fan, even back then. So I'm kind of glad they got this moment. And, you know, back to you saying that you're not really an Edge fan, but this, like, Undertaker brought out the best side of Edge, really.
Right.
That's sinister, like, that's ultimate opportunist, that kind of piece of shit Edge, really, where he doesn't have to wrestle where he's flawed. He can wrestle to his actual strengths of being a, you know, work around his kind of, I don't want to say like boring, you know, when he's a babyface, he's boring in ring to an extent. So, but when he can work off all of Undertaker's stuff and he's actually the smaller guy, really. So he can work as a smaller guy and he can work into being that piece of shit character which is best for him, the Radar Superstar. So, you know, just like Cena, Undertaker fits him like a glove, really. Overall, it's pretty good. It's probably the best work rate match on the show. You know, earlier I said Flair and Michaels was my personal best match, but that's, you know, as a presentation. But this is probably the best work rate match on the show, I would say. And like you said earlier, I'm glad it main evented because it lived, you know, it warranted it. You know, it was the first of three or four, like I said, and it delivered. It's strong, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite main events that I've seen. I you know, this is one of the first WrestleManias I watched on pay-per-view. So, this was one of my, you know, this was a favorite of mine at the time.
Like JP said earlier, it's not like Triple H and Undertaker at 28. It's not like the Shawn Michaels matches. You know, it's not like those type of Undertaker matches. It's just a little bit under, but it's still very good to great, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It may not be that top five you know, Taker match at WrestleMania, but it's definitely in the top 10 somewhere, I'd say for sure. Yeah, it is definitely a great match. They, like y'all said, they fit each other like a glove. They're a great pairing. I don't know how they were backstage, but, they obviously have really good chemistry when they get in between the ropes. I like the inclusion of Hawkins and Ryder. I like that they got a little bit of shine on the pay-per-view. And I think, Ryder gets chokeslammed off the apron. I always like that little spot because he's like flinging around with his legs and he takes it really flush. So I really like that spot. But yeah, these two guys are great together. They have a couple of more good matches throughout the next few months that we'll obviously go through on this journey as we get to the pay-per-views and go through their rivalry through the shows, obviously on SmackDown with Marcus and JP. Yeah, just a great match, great way to end the show. Like I said, this had to be the main event unless you put Michaels and Flair out there on the end. But they kind of maybe probably didn't want people to be depressed after it too. Oh man, Ric Flair's gone. So this is definitely the best match that they could have put out there last. Two great guys.
Stuff is great on this card. I looked it up. There's 5 total Edge and Taker matches for this pretty much this to SummerSlam. There's 5 in between.
Oh damn.
Yeah, I was going to say, they feud for a good little bit after this, for sure, because I think they only don't face each other on pay-per-view at, like, 2 pay-per-views between here and SummerSlam. Yeah, this is a rivalry that's going to be going on for a few more months, for sure. Just an awesome way to close the show. We'll go on to some awards that we're going to give out tonight. What did you think the best match was, Ryan? What was your favorite match of the night?
My favorite match of the night was Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels, career-threatening match. I don't want to go over it again, but I think it's just the best in, you know, for the WWE style, that was the best match. The celebrity match is up there, and then Undertaker and Edge is all up there. I'd have all those above 4, probably, if we were to give rankings, really.
Yeah, I got you. JP, what was your best match or your favorite match of the night?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Flair Shawn too. Like, the Big Show match might be like my technical favorite match, but Flair being who he is and what he means to wrestling and just the icon that he is, like that's probably my best match of the night. So I'll go that.
Yeah, storyline, rivalry, the whole storyline package with all of that and the match itself. Yeah, I think you have to go Shawn Flair on this one because I think it's just the whole package and all the stuff and all the emotions that were around it. I definitely think it was, the best match of the night, even if it might not have been the best thing, in ring. Worst match of the night, which match did you enjoy the least, JP?
The Lumberjill match. It got rained on and I really wasn't into it to begin with, but I mean, that's an easy pick, but there really isn't anything else bad on the whole show. So I'm going to go with the Lumberjill match.
Yeah. It was a really strong card. So, there's not really many options outside of that. So, Ryan, did you go with the Lumberjill match as well?
Sure. I can say Chavo if you want to be different.
No, I mean,
I'd rather watch the Chavo Kane match than the Lumberjill match. So,
seeing Chavo get squashed was like borderline orgasmic. So, I don't think that's a bad match.
But yeah, it's the Lumberjill match.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was 5 stars. If you want to look at it from a disappointing factor, maybe Batista Umaga, but the worst match is absolutely the Lumberjill match. But yeah, if you want to look at it from maybe a disappointing factor. You could go with that, I guess. Ryan, what would you consider must-see on this pay-per-view? Maybe list a few matches that we hadn't picked for best match or hadn't considered for that.
Well, if we were to do a gimmick like must-see and must-skip like our boys, Tim, not the Toolman Taylor and Marcus, I would say the only skips, I don't want to, all right, so we're on must-see real quick.
We're on must-see, yeah. What do you want? Yeah, must-see.
Really, I would say the whole card minus the ECW and the Divas and the interpromotional match. I would go back and watch the hardcore, the Battle Royal, because I love Battle Royals. I know, JP, you said you love Battle Royals, but Battle Royals are my comfort food, just like Royal Rumbles. If they're on, I'm watching them. They're fun. They're just harmless. But if you're watching one match on this card, I'm saying Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, start to finish, video package to entrances to exit. It's great. It's emotional. Whatever. It's just perfect. It's good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. JP, what would you consider must-see?
Oh, definitely Big Show and Mayweather. Like I feel like it's a good match to get non-wrestling fans into as well, because they might know Floyd Mayweather, and you know, the Big Show is such a larger than life figure that it could, you know, you'll gravitate to that kind of match. And then also, I got to give love to the Finley JBL match, because it's the first match on the first WrestleMania I've ever been to. So it's just, and it was a perfect opener. Like, I think, like, if you look up and down Manias, like, it's up there as far as the best opener. It's not Bret Owen, it's not Brian Triple H, but it's in the conversation for top five or six best openers in Mania history. So
yeah, I think that's the match that this category was kind of created for, because that's the match that you don't even really think about, but it's absolutely stellar. It's a good, you know, they beat the shit out of each other, so it's definitely a match you should go back and watch. The main event, obviously, the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match is great. Obviously, watch Shawn and Flair, that's an obvious one. But yeah, this whole card, outside of maybe the interpromotional match, you know, 8 seconds, you can skip the ACW match, I guess, and then the Divas match, of course. We've kind of gone through some stuff we could miss, but yeah, just kind of those three matches. We'll kind of skip that category because we kind of talked about it already. I'll go to JP. What would you overall grade this? We'll go out of 10. What would you give it out of 10?
So I'm going to be biased as hell. I don't care. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. And that's only because I personally like WrestleMania 19 more. Like, this is my second favorite Mania. I don't care if I'm biased or not.
But, ooh, you're a 19er. I'm so happy. That's awesome.
Oh, 19's like, I was here live for a great WrestleMania, and I still can't put it ahead of 19. Like, I was here for 24, 28, and 33. And the other two, 28 and 33, I don't even care about. Like, that's how much I love 24. But you know, I can't put it ahead of 19, so I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
I got you. You just won me over with the 19.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
WrestleMania 19 is great, but I'm a 17er.
Oh, boo. You're out.
You're allowed to have that taste. That's cool.
No, I'm just playing. It's very good. You're right.
Yeah, you're a taste for Bret Hart fan, so.
Right. That's true. All right.
I had to swing Logan back to my side real quick. Sorry.
Right.
You're still good, Ryan. Don't worry. Ryan, what would you score it out of 10?
Well, 9 out of 10 is a rookie score, so I'm going to go 8.8.
Okay. I got you.
It's an A-. It's you know, these it's definitely a top 10 WrestleMania. I'll make a case for a top 5. Top 2 is maybe a stretch, but hey, you were there, and I get it. You know what I mean? But
oh, I'm standing on that. I'm not changing. I don't care.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm not fighting you on. it's just hard because it doesn't have that iconic match. You know what I mean? It doesn't have that iconic moment. You can say Flair is an iconic moment, sure, but it doesn't have that iconic match. But the depth of it is hard to debate. It's really long. It's really strong depth wise. You got at least 3 4-star matches. You get at least 5 3.5-plus matches, everything included. JBL is even 3.5, 4.25, or 3.25. There's very little that's bad, and even the bad is fine or fun to watch or whatever. But overall, 8.8 A-.
Yeah, I got you. I'd probably go 8.5. I think it was a very strong show. It's one of the top 10 Manias for sure. I was at 30, so that's my personal favorite. That was the first one I ever attended live, so it has a special place in my heart. So I definitely get the love for 24, and it's a great show. Like Ryan said, there's not much crap in it. It has a, you know, 2 or 3 matches, and even a couple of those are one's 8 seconds and one's just not the best that those two guys could pull out with Batista and Umaga. But this is an absolutely great show. It's a WrestleMania that you should watch every season when it rolls around. I know I do every year when WrestleMania season rolls around. There's a few that I definitely make sure I watch, and this is definitely one of them.
I'm watching those as I fall asleep, and whenever I put this one on, I get invested, so I kind of screw myself falling asleep.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you do that on a Saturday so you can wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, I don't have to go to work. Good.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, this is one I always throw on for sure. Yeah, definitely a great show. I'm glad we got to talk about it. I'm glad this is our jump off point for this podcast. I'm looking forward to covering ECW, and I know you guys are looking forward to talking about y'all's shows. But I'll go around for plugs now. JP, what you got to plug? What shows you doing? What else would you like to plug right now?
So you can catch me and my boy Tim Slomp on New Gen on a Mission. It comes out every other Wednesday. We cover the era of Brett and some other guy from 92 to Brett and some other guy to 1997. I think you can fill in the blank. But for now, I'm just going to say fuck Shawn Michaels.
Oh, man. I'm going to hang up now. But Ryan, what you got to plug, or what would you like to plug right now?
I guess I'm going to be doing WWE pay-per-view previews for the No Soul Connection with rotating guests. So maybe I'll hit you guys up for that in the near future.
Nice.
But other than that, me and Mike Eller are going to do the Raw on this very podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is going to be a fun one to go back through. It's a, you know, kind of a maligned period, but I'm kind of looking forward to deep diving back into it. It's one that I've kind of wanted to do throughout the years, but have just never jumped out there and asked anybody else to do it with me.
Coming off the depth of this show, the depth of this roster at this time is unbelievable, and I'm looking forward to it, really.
Oh, yeah, you're going to see a lot of, like solid matches and just, you know, this era never gets talked about, and maybe rightfully so in some aspects, but the TV is going to be fun, I think.
Even the undercard's fun with Santino and whatever, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think the writing just started getting worse. I don't think the in-ring action will struggle at all. I think we'll have a good time watching the matches and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just, you know, maybe the storylines get a little wonkier or something like that. But it's definitely going to be a good...
to make fun of it. You know, it's
yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely true. But yeah, it's a period I'm definitely looking forward to going through. But I have from Square Circle to Silver Screen on this very feed, on the No-So feed. Me and Roger talk about movies featuring wrestlers or about wrestling. Our most recent episode was Predator, featuring Jesse the Body Ventura. Loved him in that. Wish he would have lasted a little bit longer, but Arnold stole the show and, you know, beat up some aliens and blew up some shit. So that was always a fun one to watch. But listen to all the stuff on the No So feed. There's some great shows. JT, Chad, and Aaron have a great feed going here. And I think Marcus has kind of started running a few things as well. So just a great feed all around. Great shows. We will see you next time on Cron No So.
Later.
Listen what I say, oh, I got your hey, oh, now listen what I